Nothing astounding, nothing major, but it was to me. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has revealed this to me so I can in turn reveal it to you or tell you about it. And may the Holy Ghost reveal it, comfort your heart and your soul. But before I read anything in this psalm, there are instances throughout Holy Writ in which the saints' petitions to their Father, they're rather short. They're not very long. Some of the best prayers in this book are real short. They're to the point, direct, simply, spontaneously, a wonder to read and a wonder to behold. We have one like this in this passage. It's probably the shortest prayer recorded in Scripture. But there's others, and we'll look at these others. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I was going to read out of Psalm 12, that's why I had to turn here, but I thought, no, I'm going to do it this way. But we will be back in Psalms 12. That's where the text is. Matthew chapter 14. Peter is in trouble on the sea. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, that's three letters. That's three words. The one we're going to look at isn't even three words. Lord, save me. How powerful. How spontaneous. How presumptuous Peter to get out and walk on the water. And some things are marvelous indeed, but with responsibility sometimes comes great accountability. But the beautiful thing is, sometimes we talk before we think, and then we're right in the middle of it. The Lord's He's not going to leave us alone. We may move, we may do great things, we may make decisions based on what we think is upon the Scriptures, and we seem to have the green light, direction, and we go for it. And we're like, man, I'm not, this may have been a mistake. That's okay. We're sinners, and he came to call sinners. So when you're in a situation like that, you just say, "Lord, save me." And guess what? Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. And I think that's beautiful. He could have said it, and Peter would have been back in the boat. Could he not? Could he have not said, spoken the word, and Peter would have been back in the boat? But he stretches forth his hand. Takes his hand like a little child, son or daughter, takes the child, the parent's hand. And immediately he's back in the boat. What about a publican in Luke chapter 18? Publicans. Oh, it's a nasty word to the Jews, to the Pharisees. Luke chapter 18. Verses 9 through 14, specifically verse 13. But and Christ spake the parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. That's the aim of false religion. That's it every time. They're righteous and they despise others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this fellow here, this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, and this was his prayer: God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Was he quickened? Was he redeemed? You tell me. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Justified rather than the other. Now, I preached that years ago at a nursing home. Remember that? Nursing home? And I got attacked by a man in a wheelchair. And every time I tell the story, everybody laughs. But it broke my heart. It actually, it hurt. Because here is this man, feeble. I mean, you just look at him, you feel sorry for the guy in the wheelchair. Man, I hadn't seen hate like that in a long time. And man, he said, well, come over on this side of the table so I can see more. And I tried to tell him, and I could tell he was mad. I started walking around there. He was whipped that wheelchair around. He started coming right at me. And I just, moved out of the way. And I grabbed the wheelchair. I'm like, settle down. He goes, why, I fell. You're telling me. He said, I'm just like that Pharisee. And I said, well, I'm not telling you. The scripture tells you. The other guy went down home justified, and the other guy didn't. And that, I mean, he blew up. But it broke my heart, and I just thought, we can't see it. We cannot see it unless God gives grace. Oh, there's an elect thief hanging by Christ. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Verse 42, and the one malefactor said unto Jesus, this is his prayer, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, this day, verily I say unto thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. So short. So sweet. Well, there's more. We'll look at one more, but you do that. So just do a study sometime. Look at some of the prayers of the saints. Spontaneous, direct, simple, straightforward, not contrived. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, specifically verse 2. When Christ was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. And this is what he said. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. There's his prayer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 words. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. What power, what beauty, what sovereignty. What grace to meet the needs of a poor, helpless, hopeless, dying sinner. Yet perhaps, as I said before in the introduction, the shortest cry is found here from the lips of the man after God's own heart. Verse 1. Help, Lord. That's it. For the godly man ceases from the faithful man fail, and he starts to tell him what's going on. But there's the cry. Help, Lord. Now that word means save. It doesn't make any difference what it means in the Greek, Hebrew, Arabic. We all understand, if we've been tasted that the Lord is gracious, what a cry for help. And I've said it, and preachers before me have said it, and the ancients have said it. The Lord never turns away the genuine cry for help. So it doesn't make any difference what your situation is. It really doesn't. But I must ask you to beware, because Matthew tells us in Matthew 6, Matthew But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. I have to warn myself. Just because a person can be called on to pray and stand up here and pray with a long oratorical gift doesn't mean a thing. God looks on the heart. So if you don't know how to pray, help. Help our children understand that word. Help, Lord. And there's another example of much speaking, and I'll refer you to it, and you don't have to look at it. 1 Kings chapter 18. You remember Elijah and the 400 prophets? It says that those prophets, they prayed from morning till evening. Matter of fact, he said, I don't think your God can hear you. You need to shout louder. So at the time that they finished doing all this in the time of the evening sacrifice, they started at the morning sacrifice. So from morning till evening, 400 of them cutting themselves, hollering, clapping, having music, and having a grand revival service. Nothing happened. And on contrast, you look at Elisha, or you look at his prayer, direct to the point, fire came down. Actually, after they deluged the sacrifice with water and water and buckets of water. So I have to warn us, me, have somewhat the gift of gab, my wife tells me, be careful. It's not the length. It's the heart. Now let's go back and look at this passage. Help, Lord. Do we have doctrinal concerns this morning? There's some passages of Scripture you just don't understand. I just can't quite see. Been taught that the Trinity is not right, or I've been taught that the substitution is, I don't understand some passages when he said he came to save those of the world and the world, I just don't. Help, Lord. Do we have faithfulness concerns? That which I would do, I can't. That which I want to do, I struggle. I got responsibilities here, I got responsibilities there. I know I need to be here. Some things come up. I have a fear personally, I have a fear of man. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to help, Lord. Do we have soul concerns and soul desires? It just seems like I constantly struggle with the same thing. Okay, now I'm going to write them down. I'm going to order my prayer. I'm going to look in the Scriptures and try to do what David did. I'm going to reason with God. How can he die for me, this and that. That's fine. Or, help, Lord. Do we have aches, pains, ups, downs, sickness, health, highs, lows? Help, Lord, oftentimes is truly sufficient to meet our great and fearful needs. Did hear? And again, this is David, a man after God's own heart, but I go one higher. This is an inspired word of God. It's here for a reason, for our learning, use, and edification. Well, let's just look at it. There's really not a whole lot to look at. So I'm almost done. Help. Help implies known weakness, doesn't it? It implies known weakness. You can't reach to that wallet. You can't reach that pocketbook. You can't pull out the checkbook. It isn't going to help. You can't go back to your heritage, your genealogy. your birth order. It isn't going to help. That's not going to help give you any comfort. It implies known weakness, known subordination. Help, Lord. Servitude, need. I guess we're going to sing that song after the message, but it says, hither by thy help I come. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come. We who have both seen and felt and experienced the full salvation in Christ know we are weak and helpless on our own. And so we cry, help. Help. I remember Tommy Robbins and I used to talk about this a lot. There is nothing in our lives, what we're going through, bad decisions, good decisions, weak decisions, strong decisions, financial weak decisions, financial strong decisions, get ourselves out on a limb, we're next to the tree. Any situation, marriage, love, unity, grace, doctrinal, anything, if we could comes up in our life that is not dealt with in the Scriptures. If you see Christ in the Scripture, now if you're just going for a book for rules, you may not. But if you go to the book, seeking grace and help in a time of need, He is going to answer. It may not be in the way we want to, but He's going to answer. The second thing, Lord. Help, Lord, implies we know who to run to. The psalmist, says Mr. Spurgeon, it is a well-considered prayer. He knows what he is seeking and where to seek it. This amazingly short and sweet prayer is for all occasions and for all his children, whether you're a newborn or whether you're aged in grace. Help. This will suit us while we are living or while we are dying, daily, monthly, in the times of happiness or in times of sorrow. Well, one man said in the Scripture, here I am, Lord, do it with me as you see fit. Here I am. And this short and glorious gem, which shines more and more as we need such strength, it's certain, it's sure, and unmovable in its answer. Help, Lord. Now we're going to be going to a bunch of different scriptures. If you want to, turn with me. But these are answers to this short, sweet prayer. Just like all the other ones were. The leper, Peter, Psalms 46. Psalms 46. I think I got them in order. Psalms 46. Psalms 46 and verse 5. God, this is towards His church. God in the midst of her. He is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. It doesn't say He may help her. He shall help her. And that right early. For the church as a group or a whole, whether it's in Jackson, Missouri, or New South Wales, Australia, wherever God's church is, He is in the midst of her. He'll not be moved. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. So, we as a group and individually, whether you're concerned about the group, or individually, help, Lord. Could be help me, Lord. Could be help Drew, Lord. Could be help Bruce, Lord. It could be help us raise our children, help redeem them, Lord. Save, Lord. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Verse 10, fear thou not, sounds like what Bruce read, For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Looks like to me help was needed, and help has been applied. Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, and say, fear not, I will help thee. This is for us who can't either, the way is not real clear. He's got us by the hand. He's directing us. Or this is just a companion. This is like my big brother. This is like my daddy. This is someone holding my hand. It sounds like to me help was needed and help applied. Psalms 41, or Isaiah 41 again, and verse 14, the very next verse. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, reminding us that we need help. And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I will help thee. Help needed, help applied. Isaiah 44. And I could have, I mean, there's, if you want to go bunch of these passages, there's a bunch of them. Just get out your concordance and start looking at them. I'll shut it down here a little bit. Isaiah 44 and verse 2. O Jacob, yet now hear, O Jacob, verse 1, my servant and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, thou Jacob, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Help needed, help applied. Isaiah 50, verse 9. Verse 8, he is near that justified me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. We got sovereign backing here. Sounds like to me, help needed, help applied. Now look at this last one. This is just Hosea chapter 13. This just does it to me. Hosea chapter 13. And verse 9. Listen to this verse. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Isn't that us? If he leaves us alone, we are going to swift and sure destruction. But in me is thy help. Sounds like help needed, because we'll destroy ourselves if left alone. Help applied through Christ Jesus our Lord, our sovereign, our King, our kinsman redeemer, our brother, our friend. You see how help, Lord, sovereign, majestic. None can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? And we know that's true, and we rest in that. But as I'm reading these passages, did you notice what unbelievers would say, your mean God? If you had a God like that, he's a monster. The sovereign King to lover, friend, and brother. You guys see that? Help. Help, Lord, from sovereign King, kinsman, redeemer, brother, and friend. Oh, this is a true cry from the heart. Spontaneous, direct, because we can have access. We got bold access. We don't have to go through a funny guy with a silly hat. We don't have to go through anybody. We go directly to the throne of grace because of blood bought redemption. So, sometimes I wonder how I'm to pray. How to pray for you all. How to pray for me. How to pray for a situation that's coming down our future. Help. Lord. A true cry from the heart. May He give it to us. And may it be applied. And it shall be applied and answered through grace indeed. Bruce, would you close us?